WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hello.
You know, one of the first things I wanted to say is hopefully people can hear us even more clearly than normal because we don't have our mask on.
Don't have our mask on. Man, I threw that sucker in the air so high.
I know. I feel like, I don't know, I have some just to have. Like, I'm not going to, like, just completely get rid of them.
Well, you might have to wear them again someday. You never know.
But it just feels very freeing.
It's so funny because, you know, there's lots of different thoughts out there about mask wearing. But I honestly feel like we're kind of more united now because I've seen people that had their mask on for, like, ever. People that didn't, whatever. And everybody's like, we're free.
No, I mean, this is probably TMI for the radio, but you know how when you get home, like most people, that instinct is like, oh, I'm going to take my shoes off. Yeah, I take my bra off.
Yeah.
It's very freeing. Sorry for our listeners.
It's kind of perfect for what we're going to talk about.
It is. You know. Okay, and that makes me feel better. I don't feel
perfect
like I'm
going to
automatically get fired from this show for saying that, but how has your week been?
Pretty good. I'm trying to think what I did this week. I don't even know. Do we have storms this week or is that last week?
I think we were in the clear. It was the week before.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, this time of year, you never really know. I guess we're heading into March.
Yes.
This week.
And what's crazy is just thinking about spring break, too. I think I've asked you about this, if you had plans for spring break, if you're doing any specific travels, anything along those lines.
Not traveling. I'm sure I'll try to, you know, maybe go up to Huntsville and see the family, but no, not really. What about y'all?
We are, at some point that week, my little brother had a baby back in January, and so I am going to assist my parents in us going to North Carolina to go see the baby, just because with, like, COVID, and then my dad had a kidney transplant and all the things. Mm-hmm. They've not yet met the baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I need to know what this child looks like because I hear that oftentimes the baby can take on a lot more of the dad's features. And the way that I'm explaining this is essentially like my kids look more Caucasian than my nephew. Like my nephew, because my brother is the dad, he is modeling the same like very thick, like Filipino hair, has like this natural tan, and like my kids are like white with some like Asian facial features, like eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just, it's more of a like, I'm just very interested to look at this super cute baby and kind of, you know.
It'll be fun to kind of get away. And North Carolina, that's kind of a far drive.
It is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the one driving.
So you're going with your parents and you're going to let your husband keep your kids?
Oh, the kids are coming too. I don't know I'm thinking. So I'm going to take them in the minivan. It'll be quite the adventure.
Wow.
So just with my dad, with his kidney transplant and all the things, and my mom, she would not be offended at me saying she's not the best driver. So I feel like the safest option for us as a family is for me to drive all of us. You know, we've got like the kids can watch movies in the car. It'll be great. It'll be fine.
It'll be great.
It's unfortunately happening towards the end of spring break instead of the beginning. So
you
it's
might
like,
need to take off a few days.
I think I might.
I think you might because Body Appreciation Week was last week.
Yes.
You were super busy. I feel like we got a couple of emails. I think we were in like some of the same emails and it was like you hadn't quite responded. Usually you're pretty quick to respond and then I like respond and you're like, oh yeah, I'll respond. And I was like, she's busy.
Yes, no, but we have definitely kept each other accountable in that way. But no, but you know, March also too is National Nutrition Month.
That's true.
That will be coming up in conversation at some point this month. But we just have a lot of different things going on. But I'm trying to think what else I was going to tell you. I think I need more caffeine like I did last week. And
last week,
that kind of affected me.
You were on it and I was like, I was like so out of it. But this week, I feel like I'm a little bit more on top of it.
You are. So let me stop talking and then I'll let you talk. But I'll let you do that after the break. I'll get us out of here.
I love it.
Okay,
let's do
that. Let's take a break. Maybe you'll take a quick like 15-second power nap like me. I don't know. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7. Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to this crazy Sunday on Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Wendy. We are just, Sheena's over here stretching. Yes. She's like, you know, trying to get herself ready. Last week she had tons of caffeine. All right, I guess I got to hold it together for the sake of the show.
It's Come on, man. You got it.
Well, if that's the case, we're just going to play K-pop the whole time. And I'm going to put BTS on and then we're just going to dance around.
Well, I think the good thing in all of this is we have a guest that's going to keep us
Thank
accountable.
Goodness, because I, you know.
And it's someone who knows us. Versus True. Thinking that we are just off our rockers.
Well, with no further ado, and it's not like she's not like really a guest. She's kind of like our stand-in wellness person. This is Nika Morgan. Nika, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
How many times have you been on the show?
Five, six.
And I feel like we always typically bring you in when we have like a health topic to talk about. Usually it's a month where we're celebrating something. But for the people that have not heard you before, talk on our show. Tell us about yourself.
Okay.
Who are you? What do you do?
Yes. What is the essence of Nika Morgan?
What is the essence of Nika?
What's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
Well, I am a health educator by trade. I got my master's in health promotion and health education from the University of Alabama, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
And I was in grad classes with the fabulous Sheena.
Hello.
And I personal trained and taught group aerobics with the phenomenal Whitney Pape over here at the rec center. Mm-hmm. So that's how we all know mm-hmm. each other. And then I've worked for St. Vincent's Health System, Extension St. Vincent's in Birmingham since 2010. And then also my other hat that I wear is I am a clinical instructor and faculty advisor for the Department of Kinesiology here at the University of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
And so I have just a love for health and wellness and fitness and just, you know, all the things. But I really, really have a heart for women's health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, I'm a woman, but I've also gone through some things in my life that affect women specifically that has just made it kind of part of my testimony in life and just... I'm just naturally drawn to the research and the news and the prevention of it. So that's why I love women's health.
You know, it was so funny. I totally bombed and didn't even say what we're talking about today. I just realized that. That's how out of it
I am.
Well,
the listeners should know when they hear my name, it's going to be women's health.
Yes. That's right. Well, that's our topic.
I mean, you know, and before we dive into that, because we have a whole show dedicated to that, I have to rewind a little bit. You know, the fact that you mentioned being a faculty advisor, that's basically code for student therapist, right?
Yes. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, tell us, share some adventures in advising for us, if you can, what you can share. Because I feel like sometimes our listeners may not realize, or maybe they do know the impact that their advisor had on them, because you hear of experiences where people will say, oh my gosh, my advisor changed my life. They really kind of helped me navigate these decisions. And then, unfortunately, you have some students that maybe have had a lesser experience, maybe at a different institution or with a different advisor. So, yeah.
So how I view advising, how I do it is, yes, my number one goal is to get you graduated on time, to meet all the degree requirements, to not take frivolous classes that you don't need or spend extra time doing classes that you don't want to have to pay for. You know, it's to kind of keep you on the straight and narrow. But I'm also kind of like campus mom, camp counselor. So when you come to me, I want to protect your GPA, but I want to protect your sanity. So I ask you, what have you got going on this upcoming semester? Are you going to internship somewhere? You know, do you have more responsibilities at your work-study job or your real job? And if so, let's not take on too much with these classes. And so it's always constant. It's kind of like a chess game. You know, it's not checkers, it's chess. It's a long-term four-year goal, but we have to make sure that you enjoy college while you're maintaining your sanity and your GPA. But I'm also kind of like a life coach, because students will come and say, I've just had a change of heart. I don't think I want to do what I've been working towards the last 2 years. I don't know what I want to do. And so there's a lot of self-exploration, some questions I ask about, well, what do you see yourself doing for 40 years of a working career? And we really kind of talk, and I get to know my students, and I love that, and what motivates them, and what doesn't, and what scares inspires them and what excites them. And it's really kind of cool because one of my favorite books is The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And it's kind of watching that unfold in real time as they're discovering things. And all I'm doing is just asking questions and guiding. But it's, you know, it can be tiring because I do have 900 students in our program, which is a lot. Thankfully, I don't have to see all 900. I see the upper...
About 80%, right?
About 80%. About 80%. Yeah, about 650 of them. So, pretty much everybody but the freshmen and the first semester sophomores. But, you know, I really do internalize their struggles. Like, I do. Like, I feel for them because I was once in their shoes. And I remember very vividly those feelings of fear of, am I doing the right thing? Am I choosing the right thing? Am I wasting my time? Am I wasting my money? So it's a lot more than just, hey, you need to take chemistry next semester.
Yeah. See, I think back to when I was an undergrad and, like, my advisors, oh, Lord. Like, I feel like they did the group advising where you had to go into a room and, like, you really didn't get any direction. And then I met Dr. Green and it changed the game. And it was somebody that actually would sit down with me and say, let's get you out of here. And I remember that day that it was written out and I was like, I'm actually graduating. Like, there's an end in sight.
Right,
I'm
graduating. This is happening.
Yeah. And so I hear a lot of really cool stories about advisors. Kathy Elliott's one of them. She's an instructor with us and an advisor. And I hear about things where, like, you have to have a passion for doing that because you're really mentoring and showing people, like, their next steps in their life. I think about Hannah, my sweet little PA, she either just saw you or she's going to come see you. And she's like, I may have to change. I think I have a change of heart. And she was, like, freaking out about it. And it's just, it's hard when you're at that point in your life because you don't really know if you're going to have support from your family. You don't really know if you're going to have support, you know, from your advisor, your friends or whatever. So I'm sure they're very thankful you're around.
Oh, well, you're so kind to say that. Thank you.
Yes. No, I mean, just the fact that you can serve as that both subjective and objective voice of reason is probably so helpful for them because I think sometimes we can kind of get on this high of our, like, illusions of grandeur of, like, oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. And it's like, oh,
too much stuff, maybe.
What are you going to eat? When are you going to sleep?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do all these
things?
Self-care.
That's what I always tell my students. I say, it's not that I don't think you're not smart enough to carry this load. It's just why? You know, why don't you want to enjoy life for just a moment? Because there's no other time in life like the 4 years of college. You are this very unique state of life where you get to nap.
You'll never get
that
back either.
Yeah, you won't. And I'm like, you have 40 years to put the pedal to the metal. Just, you know, don't push yourself so hard that you get in a funk and then you're not even excited about starting your career.
Yes. Now, have you noticed this? And I'm staying on topic, but, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, especially as it has become more common for students to come in a little bit younger because they're coming in with these credits from doing dual enrollment or whatever else. Yeah. I mean, we got some babies on campus and they have, like, had more life in them than, you know, sometimes what I think I've had.
Yeah. Right. I think we forget, and this is not to be demeaning or condescending in any way, but I think we forget that they're still young adults or they're children almost. Because, I mean, a pediatrician will see you until you're 21. You know, so we expect them to make 30-year-old decisions at 18. And we have to give them grace. And we have to say, listen, we know you're going to screw up. We know you're finding your way. You're forging your path. We are here to help guide you. We're almost a parent, almost, in a way. You know, yes, they have their parents, but you also have to be, hey, you don't need to do that. Let's think about that. Because it's one thing to hear it from your parents. You know, we kind of tune it out. But I think if you hear it from another adult advisor who really, you know, wants your success, I think it makes you stop and really reflect and consider what you're about to do.
Yeah. We're going to be coming up on a break soon, but you did mention, you know, health educator. This is very different, but also some similarities because you are educating them on the steps of their life. You're looking at the wellness wheel and you're probably trying to make sure, like, indirectly, maybe directly, that they're getting all these components. But, like, we know the kinesiology side, but what drew you to the wellness side?
I've always loved fitness and food. like nutrition. I mean, yeah. like, you know, I've always been very just drawn to mm-hmm. how food can heal or kill, mm. how exercise
you can,
know,
heal, or
can
kill.
Heal or kill. And, you know, I've always been very active. Mm-hmm. You know, I taught my first aerobics class at 14, which is crazy.
What was that thing you told me? And I know we're going to come on a break soon, but like, The 1,000 crunches a day thing when you were like, remember you're doing majorette stuff. Didn't you tell me something like that? It was some weird thing where you were like,
yeah, you did, you know, like, in the mid-90s before we yeah. knew better.
Yeah.
I would do like 1,000 crunches a day. And now looking back, I realized that no, I wasn't doing them properly. Because if you do them properly, you can't
get
to
1,000 crunches
a day.
Yeah.
But I thought I was doing
yeah.
right.
I just remember hearing that. So, whoa, girl.
Yeah, I think it's just intriguing to mm-hmm. me. I just think, oh, yeah. you know, the design and how our body's designed and what it can do, and it's just amazing to me, and it's just my, it's where I nerd out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Well, we're gonna stop on that soundbite right there. That's where we nerd out, y'all. Okay, we're gonna take a break. You think about those 1,000 crunches. Is that possible? You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. I hope those 1,000 crunches went well over the break, right, Sheena? Can you imagine? It's so funny, like, when you start learning about your body and how it moves, and, like, 1,000 crunches, I think you said Usher.
Usher
did it, but that boy's got genetics. He just looks good. Like, that's just how that works out. But, you know, like, thinking about, like, to me, the biomechanics of doing a crunch, I'm like, if you do it correctly, you probably can do, like, maybe 50 really, really good.
Right.
Man, it's so much, you just learn as you go.
You just learn.
No, and then for anybody who's experienced, like, the burn from crunching, like, I'm, like, feeling those sensations right now just sitting there just conceptualizing all of that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
But anyways.
Anyway, back on topic.
Yes.
Are we even on topic? Have we even gotten to our topic yet?
We kind of
did. We
did. We just mentioned it.
Okay.
So.
You know why we're like this? Spring break's around the corner.
Yeah.
That's why. It's that time. Anyways.
So, if you are just now joining us, because apparently we are just now joining us too, this month is Women's History Month. And so, I think in the spirit of that, we wanted to talk women's health.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting. And, you know, Whitney, what I love about what you did in preparation of today's show is that you sent Mika and I some really great articles related mm-hmm. to milestones in women's history, women that changed health and fitness. And when I looked through, the fact that, like, the one handwritten note that I put on my agenda that I took from those articles was Kotex 1921. So
it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that the other things were not important, but mm-hmm. I feel like for some reason that just resonated with me. So.
I mean, you know how, like, the new, this is, I'm sorry, listeners, if this isn't your thing, turn it off, whatever, I don't even care. But I'm just saying, these are women's health issues. This is stuff to be aware of. If you're, you know, curious, listen to our show. But have y'all heard of the new cups that people wear, like the menstrual cups?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That, to me, is a weird thing. Like, the Kotex, I'm like, yeah, get rid of it. But the cups, it's a little strange. Have y'all looked into it?
I've looked into it.
It's sustainable. So
yes.
If you're a hippie, it's going to work, and it's going to save the environment, and so that's a good thing. But there's some weird things about it. I just am not sure.
I think everybody has their jam.
I think everybody has their jam. I'll stick with Kotex.
Yes. And then there's also the, and not in just the, like, casual phrasing of, like, oh, these are my period panties, but there's actual, like,
there's actual
period panties out there.
Man, it's weird. This,
and the bathing suits that are made for the period.
I will say, I am loving that it's not so taboo as it was when we were teenagers.
That is true. Yes.
I think that helps young girls. And even young guys who are like, what is going on? Because young boys, I remember being 6th, 7th grade. It was this,
they don't get it.
It was,
the girls have to go to this room to watch this movie. We can't tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
Y'all go play
dodgeball. It was so mysterious. And now I think with advertisement, social media, they can educate themselves and
That's
not
true.
Be so weird about, you know, like, oh, I'm reading this book on women's health when I'm a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps them support women better.
Yes.
And then it just helps our health because we don't have to feel like we're hiding the fact that we're doing something monthly that we were designed to do.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's not as taboo because I remember, like, growing up, I mean, even, like, in high school, you couldn't pay me to walk into a store and buy Kotex or whatever because I'd be so embarrassed. Now I'm like, I just don't care. I don't even think twice about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even, I mean, one time this nice man was in Walmart and I was standing there. He was like a dad or something. And he stops me and he's like, can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, sure. And was like asking what to get his daughter. And she was like a volleyball player and athlete. And so I'm like hooking him up. I'm like, get her these. This will help with this. Get her that. This will help with that. And, and he's like, thanks so much. He's like, you got it. You know, it was just like that.
Solidarity.
Moment. Solidarity. Yes. I was like, I got you, bro. Don't worry about it.
But no, I think when we think about women's health, like that is an obvious point to think about. But sure. We are such cool biological beings. Mm. I mean, we freaking grow humans.
That's true.
Like that's a
we
mic
produce
drop.
Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like cows. Yeah. We can't. I mean, we do. I mean, I know there's more than just cows that produce milk. But I'm just saying, that, you know, you think about it, you know.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of curious, just in light of women's health, I kind of want to get into, like, what we should be doing for screenings yeah. and prevention, mm-hmm. because I think we can throw it out there, but, you know, if we can kind of go through, like, the big ones, you know, if you're, yeah. just to kind of rattle through them,
yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, okay, so first of all, I want all my female listeners out there to know that the number one killer mm-hmm. that will take you down mm-hmm. is heart disease. Mm-hmm. Okay, all forms of cancer that a person can get mm-hmm. combined still doesn't add up to how many women die of heart disease
a year. That's a sobering
fact. That is sobering.
Why?
It's to do with hormones and just like, you know, our different hormones and it's just the way we're built. We're just genetically different, and our heart suffers a little bit more stress
yeah.
than a man's.
Mm-hmm. I almost wonder, too, if, like, as a woman, I don't really think about heart disease.
Right.
To be honest, because I have this, you know, mindset. I'm being totally stereotypical of, like, a middle-aged man who has a barrel chest that might be high risk of heart disease, a heart attack, or something like that. I never really think of, like, women. Some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, because of that, you want to get your blood pressure checked, your cholesterol, and your blood glucose levels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, according to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which is kind of the end-all be-all mm-hmm. that says this is what you should do, you know, when we're talking about blood pressure, I think everybody needs to know what their blood pressure is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
care what age you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, you want it to be 120 over 70 mm-hmm. or 120 over 80 or below. Mm-hmm. And if it's something higher than that, you need to let your physician know.
Mm-hmm.
But every single year when you go for a wellness checkup, mm-hmm. make sure they check it. They usually do. Mm-hmm. But you can stop and say, hey, what is that? Because if you're keeping up with it and it's really high, mm-hmm. or it's really low, you can bring that to the attention of the physician when you see them.
And I will put a plug here for Wellness and Work-Life Balance. They've done a great job of trying to get those blood pressure cuffs put places. I think we have one at the Student Center.
Yes, we do.
And then I think they have one over Employee Resource Center. So, you know, if you've never taken your blood pressure before, go check it out. Stick your arm in the cuff. See what it is. Do your health screening. Okay, that was my plug.
No, you're good.
And I'll say specifically, because of conversations that I have had with the two of you on air before, mm-hmm. and we've talked about stress and blood pressure, I finally restarted my blood pressure medication.
Yay!
As of last week.
And I love that you say that because, again, people think it's menopausal women mm-hmm. or women who are overweight mm-hmm. or women who have, you know, mm-hmm. COPD or something like that.
Sure.
It can be any age. You can be 15 years old, perfect healthy weight, perfectly, you know, great diet, physically active, mm-hmm. and still have it. It's, you just don't know what's going on the inside until you check it out.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel good?
I do.
Good.
I do, which, but I'm also one of those people where high blood pressure had been the norm for me for so long. Like, I
quote, you don't know how to chill out now.
And that's why it's the silent killer, as we talked about.
Yeah,
so
you're not always going to have a headache with high blood pressure. You're not always going to have a tight chest. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to have a red face. Those are all myths.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's different. You know,
and
you just react differently.
And the thing about it being a silent killer is it's putting so much pressure on you internally,
mm-hmm.
and you don't feel that.
Yeah.
And then something happens like a stroke
mm-hmm.
or an aneurysm or a heart attack.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you need to get your cholesterol tested mm-hmm. as well. You want to start at age 20 and get it regularly if you're at a risk for high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Family,
mm-hmm.
Your diet, maybe some of the medications you're on. And then you just talk to your physician after that about how regularly you need to get it tested. And then for blood glucose, you want to check for diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
if your blood pressure is higher than 135 over 80, if you're under the age of 40, you take medicine for high blood pressure, you're going to want to get like an A1C test. Mm. And then from there on out, your physician will tell you how often you need
to get
it.
Did you have to do that?
The last time they did not run an A1C. They did my lipid panel. Mm-hmm. Those numbers were beautiful. Very
good
proud
for
of
you.
That. And honestly, that was always my cop out. I was like, oh, well, who cares if my blood pressure is high? Like, my cholesterol is, like kind of amazing. Or my triglycerides, my like blood sugar. And like, I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was very grateful those numbers were normal and great, but I think I used that as a way to minimize my blood pressure because I didn't want to take ownership of the fact that I was having it. So,
yeah, right.
That's mm-hmm. me just being transparent
with our listeners. Everybody needs to know that, you know? So then coming in second is cancer, okay? Mm-hmm. Lung cancer actually beats out breast cancer for the killer of women.
Really? Just from smoking?
No.
Really?
Yes. The research is, I'm sure there's better research than what I have found just by looking lately, but it's not always just due to smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know if it has something to do with the effects of estrogen and progesterone and everything else on the body, but lung cancer comes in number one and then breast. So for a lung test, this is where I kind of disagree. I'm not a physician, but you know me, I'm preventive. Mm-hmm. So I always like to err on the side of being kind of maybe a little bit manic about it.
Yeah, we're proactive.
We're proactive. They say 55 to 80 years old if you've smoked or if you've quit within the past 15 years. Here's what I say. I say if you have any kind of, and it's hard now with COVID because, you know, you get a slight cough and they all say, oh, you know.
Get tested.
COVID or, you know. But then on the flip side of that, that is pretty good because now if you do have a lingering cough and they want to test for lung COVID, you can also say, well, I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. Can we test for lung cancer?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's the other one. And then breast, of course, as we know, you don't really want to get a mammogram below the age of 40 because our breasts are dense and a mammogram is not going to really see anything because you've got the fatty tissue. Mm-hmm. But if between 40 and 50, if you have a family member that has had it or you feel any kind of lump or any kind of changes, discharge, let your doctor know. But then once you get to 50, you got to get screened every 2 years until you hit 75.
Dang.
Man, okay. Well, on that note, I know we have to go to a break, and I'm glad that you mentioned that about not typically getting a mammogram under 40 because I had to reschedule, like, my annual exam with my physician. The scheduler's like, oh, do you need a mammogram, too? And I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. Nobody's ever asked me that before.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever you think. But anyways, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back on Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and it's Women's History Month coming up in March, and we're talking about women's health and all the great things, and we were just talking about getting mammograms, and Sheena, you were asking the nurse practitioner or the doctor if they recommended you get one for your age or they should have told you.
It was so she was just in the scheduling department and so I think she was just trying
doing
to like
her job
hit her P's and Q's of like, well, I gotta get this all like organized for you. So I think it just may not have been, you know, her checking to see like whatever. So now I can feel more confident saying, no, I don't think I need it.
But they kind of are. Like, the last time I went to my doctor, I'm 37, and she was like, you want to start scheduling your mammograms now. Like, earlier I was like, now? And she was like, well, yeah. And I was like, do I have to? She was like, you don't have to. I was like, well, then why would I? It was like this moment of like, why are you going to make me do this?
Yeah.
That's all it's time. But I think they are starting a little younger, you know?
Yeah. Because the prevalence is getting younger and younger, you know?
Man. I had this sweet lady, I'll tell you all this and we'll go on to our list. I teach a breast cancer stretch class at the rec center and bless her heart, she had to get one of them removed. I guess it's not a mastectomy because that would be both, right?
A double mastectomy, but it's a mastectomy.
Double mastectomy, okay, that's right. I don't even know the terms, but man, I felt so bad for her and I was like, and this just happened recently, so kind of sad. So you need to keep these things in mind, you guys.
Yes, and you want to do your own, like, self-exam every month,
yeah,
no matter how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's move into sexual and reproductive health.
Hey!
Woo-woo. I know this is probably not PC, but I have always said we have so many self-destruct buttons. We have ovaries and fallopian tubes and a uterus and a cervix and a vagina and breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't have those. I mean, yes, men can get breast cancer and prostate and testicular cancer, yes, mm-hmm. but there's just so many moving parts that I feel like we have to keep up on mm-hmm. as a woman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talk about a pap test, a pap mm-hmm. smear. That is to check for cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get one every 3 years if you're 21 or if you're sexually active. So mm-hmm. if you're sexually active at 14, you might not want to do it, but you got to mm-hmm. go and start getting tested. Mm-hmm. We got to check because HPV, human papillomavirus, you know, is one of the causes of mm-hmm. cervical cancer, you know, or the cause of cervical cancer. And so then after that, you want to get a pap smear and an HPV test every 5 years if you have a cervix. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a hysterectomy, mm-hmm. you no longer have a cervix. And so then that way,
I didn't
your
realize
physician,
that's how that works.
Yeah, you don't have a uterus or a cervix.
I'm like, I need to go back to anatomy.
I know. We have a diagram, please. Yeah.
And so that way, you know, you don't have to get, but you still have to get a pelvic exam. So a pap smear, for those of you who don't know, they do take a sample and they send it to the lab to see if any, you know, it cultures mm-hmm. it to see if there's any cancerous cells. A pelvic exam is kind of like a prostate exam for women, you know,
yeah.
where there's fingers that go into
in
an orifice.
Places.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
But that is checking for lumps or tumors. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't ever change because, I mean, you still have that anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk to your doctor about that once, you know, you get to be about 40 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But usually every time you get a pap, you're going to get that and you're going to get a breast exam when you go mm-hmm. to your gynecological appointment. So it's pretty much a package deal.
Yeah.
You know, but what's not a package deal is STD testing.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They're not just going to do that. So I think the young girls out there,
mm-hmm.
the young females need to know that when you go to the OBGYN and you get a pap smear and a pelvic, they're not going to come back and tell you if you have chlamydia mm-hmm. or syphilis. Or they're
right.
not testing for that. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that we erroneously believe as mm-hmm. young women that, oh, well, if I had something, they would have told me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, you go in for your regular exam or whatever. So just like if you're curious listening to our show and you're like, you know, maybe I should get kind of checked out, just ask the doctor, say, hey, I need, or just tell them, be like, hey, I need to get tested. And that's really all you have to
that's
say.
All you
and then
have
they're going
to
know.
Now, if you get pregnant, they're going to automatically do it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They automatically do it. But, you know, if you've had a blood transfusion for any reason at all between the years of 1978 mm-hmm. and 1985, you need an HIV test.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So don't think, oh, I didn't engage in anything that would have maybe given me mm-hmm. HIV. It's just the way that the, you know, the protocol was
mm-hmm.
before
yeah.
1985.
Mm-hmm.
But you do want to get tested at least once in your life for HIV,
mm-hmm.
no matter if you've been in a monogamous relationship, because, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to be honest, not everybody is truthful with their partners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you want to do that. And then, you know, that's your sexual reproductive health. And then, you, of course, for everybody, we want to get screened for our skin, dermatology.
Mm-hmm. I love going to the dermatologist. I'm like, take that off right there. Can we write that one off? Take that there. Of course, you know, you have beautiful, like, olive complexed skin. Nika and I are, like, pale over here
yeah,
with our freckles
got, like,
and stuff.
Yeah, we've got, like,
type 2
skin, just, like, you know, just one up from the redhead freckles, you know, that burns very
summertime,
easily.
Summertime, I wear 50.
I still get burned. So you want to start at age 18. And go at least every 2 years and get a head to toe,
mm-hmm.
which means they take a little bit more time with you. They look at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, depending on your history mm-hmm. and what they take off of you and your skin type, your doctor will tell you, hey, come back in 6 months,
yeah.
come back in a year,
sure.
whatever. But now we'll say this that most people don't know. The rate of getting and producing and developing melanoma
mm-hmm.
is so much higher when a woman is pregnant and up to a year after her pregnancy
wow.
due to the high estrogen levels.
Interesting.
So you need to make sure for sure that while you're pregnant
mm.
and after pregnancy that you really wear that SPF every single day.
Well, and that being said, does that mean that women are, I guess, at a higher rate of having melanoma?
Yes, really? More so than men.
Oh, okay.
I'm just starting to learn. Estrogen is like freaking kerosene. Like,
it messes with your emotions around in our body,
but it's like.
But you also know if you lose your both ovaries before age 40, you know, your life expectancy is around like 65 years, and you are at a higher risk for having osteoporosis and Alzheimer's. So it's protective in some ways, but it's also self-destructing in some ways.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. That's why we have to be, as women, we have to constantly be up on it.
Yes. And so, you know, for those of us listening to today's show, you know, you might get squirmy, start thinking, oh, my gosh, like all the things.
I'm dying. The world's coming up. Yeah, no.
But knowledge is power. And that's why we bring these things up. And, yeah.
Get control and get it early. Mm-hmm. That's what I say.
You know, I was just thinking all these things, and we talk about all the time about eating the right things and being active. And I just want to throw in there, you know, if you're a female and you're like, I need to start exercising and I need to start being active. I mean, we mentioned osteoporosis, and this is, I mean, a very prevalent thing for certain groups of women. I mean, I would recommend strength training and doing some cardio for everybody. It doesn't have to be go kill yourself in the gym, but we've gone through the recommended. I think a couple of shows ago, we talked about like recommended what you should be doing. I mean, don't be afraid to go pick up some weights, or if you don't want to go into the weight room, like do some yard work, lift heavy things. You need to be building that bone density. I didn't know, was I even going to be on one of your lists?
Yeah, so that's the next one, actually.
Nice. You're perfect.
I didn't even look. They say that you need to get the bone density test, like the DEXA scan. Mm-hmm. At least once you hit 65 or older. Mm-hmm. But if you've had osteopenia, osteoporosis in the family, you've had lots of fractures, you can talk about that with your physician, and they may request a DEXA scan earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, the whole thing is communicate. Talk to your doctor. Mm-hmm. And you can't talk to your doctor if you don't go to the doctor. You can't go to the doctor if you don't make an appointment.
And if you go to your doctor and it's not something that you click with, go to a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like dating. You got to find the one you click
swipe.
With, you know? No, you're not. And then finally, before we run out of time, this one I think is a big one. Mm-hmm. Depression and anxiety.
Mm. Yes.
And again, that goes back to some estrogen.
Oh, estrogen. Hello.
Bliss.
Yes. But, you know, you got to think about postpartum.
Yeah.
When the hormones are trying to rebalance themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, postpartum, I think a lot of women erroneously believe that, oh, well, I've never had depression. I've never had anxiety. So I'm not going to get postpartum.
Mm.
It is not a respecter of persons at all. Yeah. It can hit anyone.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious. You two both have children. I don't. I've never been through that. I mean, have y'all been through that? Like, is it something that you think that, I mean, maybe you haven't experienced it fully. I'm just kind of curious if it's just like this sense of you're just depressed. I guess I don't really know.
You're overwhelmed and you're tired already because, you know, one day everything just changes and now you're up every hour and a half feeding a human being and changing them and crying them, and you're building the bridge as you go.
Mm.
But then all this hormone that has built up in your body for 9 months to sustain this life is gone the minute they take the placenta out.
Wow.
And it just starts dropping.
Hmm.
And you're trying to regain that balance in the brain and in the body. And you couple that with overwhelm and anxiety.
So it's just kind of like a lot's happening, I guess.
Just a lot.
Mm. Yes. And I think it needs to be normalized. And it's going to look different for a lot of people, because I think that when we're not talking about it a lot, whenever someone finally does share that with their partner, you don't want that partner generalizing like, oh, I heard you get that. And then you want to like hurt your baby.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
and
not
it,
all the time.
And then it gets people to not want to share that with their partner.
Because they're afraid they're going to have their baby taken away. Yes.
Yes.
There's different stages of it. There's people who are just, they're kind of despondent or apathetic.
I guess it's such a massive change in your life, you know, that I could see in your chemicals and your body. I could see how that would be. I've just always been curious. I've always heard of it. I never really understood what it was, but I think it's time for our break.
It is. Wealth of knowledge. You guys, we're taking a quick break. Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. We'll catch you on the flip side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Fit to be Tied, and we're shutting it down. We're shutting it down. And Women's History Month, guys. I mean, go check it out. If you're like, I'm not into history, then like, forget you. I'm just kidding. Go check out Women's History Month. Learn a few things. It's good to learn. It's good to keep your mind sharp. But Nika, thanks for being on our show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And for giving us lots of good preventative care information. And, you know, let's just take a step back. Lots of good information. But now we want to focus on you.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
So we like to do this with our guests. And we just kind of like to ask them, you know, what self-care looks like for you. And, like, maybe one or two things that you do for yourself to just have a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-care looks different for me depending on the day.
Yeah.
Some days self-care is going to Taco Bell and getting a bean burrito with lots of onions.
Yeah, girl.
Sure.
You know? Yes. That hits the spot. Mm-hmm. Some days self-care is I don't really want to eat a whole lot, but I want to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. To me, sleep would be better than food at that point. Mm-hmm. But on the regular, mm-hmm. I like to take a hot bath before I get in the bed because mm-hmm. I find that it just, like, really calms me down and gets me ready for a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And while I'm in the bathtub, I like to go down the rabbit hole of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I like to watch, like, clips on, like, you know, how Dave Grohl wrote Everlong for the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And then I like to watch the UDA Nationals mm-hmm. Championships. And then I send texts of memes to you and Sheena.
Yeah.
And so just kind of, I think maybe just zoning out and just letting, you know, learning new things, but not like it's, you know, focus learning. It's just like, oh, this is really cool. I still want to find this, and I've learned mm-hmm. how this song came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it's one thing for someone to escape into mindless things like all day long as like escapism, and then there's times where when you're doing it for this just intentional like decompressing, it can be so helpful.
Yes, I think it's great. I mean, and it's so funny like hearing from all of our guests that we've had so far on the show. Everybody kind of has like different things that they do, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, self care in our world always has to, like I feel like people have the mindset it's gonna be like I eat healthy and I eat a salad or I go for a walk. Like sometimes you just kind of need to sit on your couch and like play on your phone.
Yeah,
you know.
Sometimes you do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And go to Taco Bell and then go to the couch and get on the phone.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it's just...
I mean, you've given me some plans for self-care tonight, so we might need to do that. But you guys, we have had a fabulous show. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend and you have a fabulous Monday tomorrow. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.